141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a disastrous night for Celtic. Martin O'Neill's side are out of the Champions League and into the Europa League after blowing a 4-goal aggregate lead. Hearts are in action right now, away to Rapid Vienna in the early kickoff, and Rangers agree a £9 million deal for Portland Timbers striker Kevin Kelsey. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Simon Donnelly, who I thought you were going to phone in sick, to be
almost
honest.
Almost did.
When I saw the result last night. Yeah, and Alex Ray, who's just beaming.
No, not quite beaming. But we'll say it was an incredible event last night, Gordon, to watch. Celtic winning easy street, and it just crumbled and kind of capitulated. And I think the aftermath will be a felt in the show tonight.
Yeah, just used the word disastrous, Gordon, and it was. It was just a disaster for Celtic on the night. Strange game, because I thought they started the game okay, 15, 20 minutes. They get the goal, they have a couple of other little chances, albeit Lask hit the woodwork and had a couple of chances himself. But the mistake from Negrin, who's had a great start to the season, just plays it almost blind and gives Lask that little lifeline before half time. And it sounds crazy, but for me, that's the important one, because you get 1-0, it's just a different feel. And then they get the second goal right after half time, and you could see it coming. You know, Celtic, Alex used the word crumbled, they capitulated in that second half.
This post mortem will be lengthy and detailed, so get in touch, Celtic fans, 01419511025. How bad was it? Why was it so bad? Whose fault is it that it was so bad? And where does it leave you? Just some of the questions that we will try and get through between now and 8 o'clock, because for something to go as wrong as it did last night, clearly there is a widespread share of blame. So where do you fire it? Which direction? How much responsibility did the players take, and the management? What about the signings and the investment and the board and all the stuff we tend to go around when Celtic get into the Champions League qualifiers? Because you don't need me to tell you that is 6 consecutive failures in Champions League qualification, more often than not against teams that either you should beat, or certainly in last night's case, in a tie that you should win, given that there was a 4-goal lead at one point. So it was a rough evening in Austria. Give us all your thoughts, where it went wrong, why it went wrong, who's to blame, and so on. 01419511025. It's a busy old time, this. Of course, Rangers are over in the Czech Republic. They will play tomorrow. They've got their own tie that they need to make sure they come through after a 1-0 lead. And in many ways, the biggest news coming out of the Czech Republic tonight is more about transfers in and out. A £9 million deal agreed for Portland Timber striker Kevin Kelsey. He's clearly the Yusuf Chirmiti replacement, but he's only injured. He's going to come back at some point, and that's going to be a very expensive strike force. What do you make of that signing that's about to happen, Rangers fans? And maybe one out the door, because Nico Raskin has not travelled due to transfer interest in him. So again, all your reaction there. And we'll keep an eye on Hearts as well. Remember, they are in early action. It almost caught me out as well, because a couple of the Austrian sides are not allowed to play at home at the same time. So Hearts' game has been brought forward, and with 20 minutes gone, it's Rapid Vienna 0, Hearts 0. Remember, that is 2-2 on aggregate. So no goals yet. Hearts have been forced into a change, though, and Ocean McEntee has gone into the book. That would be a great one to pull off, wouldn't it? Because it feels, yeah, they're clearly underdogs when it's a 2-2 and you go away again. But it's not impossible, that one, is it? Are we holding out a bit of hope for them, maybe?
Yeah, an outside chance, I would say, Gordon. It's a difficult place to go, and but you never know. You know, Hearts are capable of that. I think middle to front, they're actually okay. I think they're struggling a little bit at the back. But listen, we wish them well.
Said that at the weekend as
you
well.
Fancy them?
Well, it was the one that, when you were asking for our predictions, I kind of described that one has been in the balance. It could go either way. I think, as Alex says, Hearts, from what I've seen this season, look as if they know where the goal is. But you're away from home again, Vienna. Can you keep the ball out your own net? I'd imagine there'll be goals in that game, but so far 0-0.
Yep, we'll keep an eye on that one. Motherwell and Hibs also in action tomorrow night as well. So there is loads to get through, but I've got a funny feeling that the events in Austria last night are going to dominate, certainly the early part of it. 01419511025. Why hang about? Let's get stuck straight in, because these phone lines are lively. Paul, how would you sum up how bad that was from Celtic last night?
Good evening, guys.
Hi, Paul.
Gordon, Simon, myself, good man from East Kilbride, Alec, had a bit of fun with you the other week, and it's really come back to haunt me last night. It was an absolutely disastrous result. As a Celtic fan, I've been a Celtic fan for, I'm 42, so 42 years of my life. I don't think there's been a worse result in Europe. I think there are, you can blame the board in a kind of long-term way in terms of squad building, but to be absolutely fair, I think it has to fall with Martin O'Neill, because we were 4-0 up away from home. You should be able to keep that result with what he had. And people, you know, I think Luke McCowan's, he's taken a real, real hard time from the fans over the last 24 hours, which I think is quite unfair, because, you know, but, and other players, you know, Anthony Ralston and other guys like that. But look, that team should have been able to hold a 4-0 lead. And
so just quickly, Paul, so you're going that far, you know, that's not a knee-jerk kind of thing. You think that's the worst, you know, or certainly right up there in terms of the worst European results?
Can't think of any. I mean, you could go, there was that really bad result Strachan had at the start of his tenure, but we bounced on from that. This doesn't feel, this feels worse, because that Strachan team was, it was kind of in between two teams. This team has money spent on it. You know, we had Duran, we've got Pastor Who, we've got Boer. Hassan sat on the bench, didn't even go on the pitch. So this, in my opinion, is the worst European result Celtic have had. And probably one of the, possibly one of the worst results. I mean, maybe let's not talk about Carly Thistle go ballistic, but I mean, it's kind of up there, because we blew it. It was there for us. We had it. We were 4-0 up. And we absolutely chucked it away. I think what Callum said about the team, they were afraid. I think that's true. But I think a lot has to go down to Martin O'Neill. And look, in my opinion, look, Martin O'Neill is a Celtic legend. What he did last season was brilliant, but he should have walked away last season, and the club should have had a better idea of who they should have brought in. Now, I feel that they were probably going to go for Robbie Keane, and they realised that they would set him up to fail because of the certain political opinions of the fan base. And that's why they really brought Martin back. But the man's 74 years old, did a great job last season, but the game has passed him by. And having him and Shawnee in there and Fozzie, it's just not good enough. We should have been going and looking for, you know, when we got Martin O'Neill, we were going out and looking for a real top manager. We should have been doing this summer, and we haven't. And as much as a lot of people will want to criticise the board, this has to fall on the guy that took the team last night, picked the team and put the boys in the park, gave the team talk and did what he felt he had to do to put them together, and it was not good enough. And
let's put some of that to the guys. You've covered a lot of good ground, Paul. See, at like a most basic level, before we go any further, is that the territory we're in, Simon? Is that the worst? Is it one of the worst? Is Listen, this stuff accurate?
My memory's maybe not as good as Paul's. I wouldn't say I think it's a really sore one. I think Celtic start the season, and we all get really positive with the way they've started the season. They've scored goals, they've brought guys in who, in my opinion, have elevated the quality in the team. They've also improved guys round about them, because I speak from experience, when that happens, your game goes up. Negrin being the prime example, he didn't have a good game last night, albeit. And I think the fact that you get the first goal last night, I was joking with Alec there, I was sitting last night knowing that I was coming in here, and at 4-0 I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be an easy night. And then the game unfolds. And
I caught him in the car park, sitting with his head in his hands when I arrived there.
Crying. So, but you look back to who had a chance, and it almost gets mixed up with Negrin and the ball gets away from him. So I think it's a really sore defeat, because I think almost every Celtic fan. Although we did say beware last, you know, the chances last week. I think we were on the show on Saturday and the Dazzler was saying it was 100%.
And oh, missed 100%. Been getting it tight on my social media feeds today, I have
so,
to admit.
But just the nature of it, to get to that stage of a game, 4-0, yeah, you have to see
that. I think
that
it's one of the worst, Alex, because of that.
Yeah, listen, I think with the circumstances, I think when you go 4-0 up and when you look at certain players within the Celtic ranks, you know, you get Carter Vickers, McGregor, he must have, what, 90 appearances in Europe, something like that. He's been about for a long time. You have a vastly experienced manager as well, who you think could possibly see that out. It's interesting, Simon, saying, when they go four, it's going to be an easy show tonight. I thought when they got the Callum McGregor goal, I thought that's it, curtains. But the goal before half time is inexplicable. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a player, and the thing is, we've gave Negan so much credit over the course of this season. Was it 4-4 goals?
Yeah, he changes his mind.
I
looked at it back, but again, it's easy.
Do you think he's going to get centre half or the keeper?
I honestly don't know. But what I think is, if you watch it back, the player, almost when he's at the ball, is behind McGregor. Is he? I mean, it's a silly pass.
See, on this then, right? See the conversation you're having, and I think Paul will get stuck right into the detail between now and 8 o'clock. But Paul's probably summed up the kind of the way that the short term or the small issues last night, and then the bigger, wider structural club run issues are going to keep colliding, because I think you are allowed to say that squad was underprepared. Mm. Look at the type of players they had to bring on. Look at the team that finished the game. Are those players up to it? But by the same token, you guys are talking that there is a scenario where Celtic don't give away a ridiculous first goal and they probably still go through.
Yeah.
What type of, even that, surely even an underprepared Celtic team, surely even, dare I say it, various mid-table Scottish Premiership teams can see out a 4-0 with an hour to go.
Yeah. Yo, listen, I actually think they caved in. You know, I think when you listen to Callum McGregor post-match, I think he hit the nail on the head. I thought he said he was like true to what he was saying. So he's not good enough, not enough character within the squad. And to answer your original question, it is a horrendous result for Celtic due to the circumstances. And to talk about underprepared, I've been saying for weeks, Gordon, that Celtic need backup. You look at their bench. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that you want to do when you're looking at your bench is, see, if you take Simon off, you want someone to replace him of the same quality. And with the greatest respect to the guys that come on, there's a dip in that quality. Because I think the starting 11 for Celtic are pretty decent.
That's the thing. So how do we land on the sort of the silver bullet of what's to blame? Because if the management, this is what Paul's getting to, if the management and the players just do an even a remotely acceptable job last night, We're not talking about the strength of the squad tonight either. Do you know? So
I think it's a combination of everything, Simon. So when you look at there's been a real kind of clamour to get your business done. I think Celtic have the least amount of players now because
you see that stats on the Scotland's coefficient of the 42 SPFL sides have signed the fewest.
So, but then you have such a good start to the season. People are going, yes, quality over quantity. But it just shows the importance of depth, which we've been saying for weeks. We sat here, I think it was last Tuesday, and was talking, I think it was Killian I was with, and they were talking about getting bodies in, because I was like, they need a minimum of 4 or 5.
We said that on Saturday as well.
Is that what you're saying? And the reason being is because when you go through the team, there's various areas where they're very light. Then you go back to the board not being proactive enough of getting more players in the building, because we've only got a week left, and you know, there's probably speculation that one or two Celtic players could potentially leave.
Thank you to Paul. Let's bring in Rory. Rory, is that, I mean, how do you sum up what you witnessed last night?
Well, first thing I want to say is long term listener, first time caller, and I really wish I was making my debut in your show in happier times.
You've just been tipped over the edge, Rory. It happens to the best of them.
Unbelievable. I was actually a family do last night. There was 25 of us in the house watching that. We thought, you know, Champions League party, and you know, 20-25 minutes in, you know, we're having a great time, and see an hour later, oh my goodness, it was awful. I think the thing that struck me going into this match, last week we had a fantastic performance at Celtic Park, scored 3 great goals, 3-0 up, we're in charge of the tie, you know, and then Martin O'Neill is in the press to the game and he's given it, you know, an air of pessimism, and I really didn't get that, you know, and the thing about Martin O'Neill is he's always been a great motivator of our team. and I didn't understand what he was doing earlier in the week with that message. Surely he's got to be building the players up. Look what you've done in the first leg. This team that you're playing against, you've got the measure of them. You're going to go over to Austria. You're going to get the win. Because what we saw in the park was just a complete collapse in confidence. The players never showed up. You know, they scored a fortuitous goal at the doors.
Oh, sounded like Rory's phone clicked there, but he covered a lot of good points, and even there's something in there about the fact that he's listened all this time, and now that was bad enough to tip him into picking up the phone. Yeah, what do you make of what his take was?
Listen, he's got a fair take on it. Of course he has. I think
Martineau did mismanage the messaging around it.
No, listen, we can speculate how the manager goes about it. I mean, I was about to ask him there what he was meaning specifically. Was it because he was talking about should we not get into the Champions League?
I've seen a few people make this point. I think it was more this, because as much as it was true that the tie wasn't done, and certainly saw that last night, almost like putting too much emphasis on that. You know, you were 3-0 up. Should you have a bit more of a swagger about you?
Listen, I think we all looked at that first game and said this isn't over. I mean, Lask could quite easily be
apart from Gordon Dale.
Apart from Gordon, it could have been 2-0 up. You know, it was slight offsides with the two goals. They had other chances in the game. It was an open game. Celtic scored 3 world class goals in the game, and you know, then you look back, and it was interesting to hear Callum McGregor's comments after it last night, saying that he didn't think they played particularly well last week. Mm-hmm. So maybe there was a feeling there that they had to go. And keeping back to that first 20 minutes, I thought Celtic popped the ball about confidently, got the goal.
That is what's strange about it, isn't it? Rory's back and I'll bring him back in, but this is what I was going to counter Rory's point with, Alex, is it's not like the collapse started at the beginning.
No.
You know, that's maybe what you would expect. You would expect the kitchen sink comes out from Lask straight away, and then you think if they score within the first 5 minutes, but we keep reiterating it, this is so bad because it was with an hour to go. You've got the 4-0 advantage. So that in many ways makes it even more difficult to get your head around.
Yeah, without doubt. I thought Celtic were really comfortable. They were controlling the game. Callum McGregor's pivotal in everything they do. And then obviously the goal gives them the momentum going into half time. But more importantly, I think you were obviously over there. I think it gave the fans the belief. Mm. Because, you know, when you talk about fans getting behind the team, then they come back out, was it 3 minutes
very
in the
quickly,
second half? Then all of a sudden you're thinking, if they get a goal within the next 10, 15 minutes, mm-hmm. then anything can happen in this game.
And then after that, 40 shots on goal. I'm not a massive stats head. I need somebody to confirm.
I think it was 60 over the two
if
legs.
If we've ever had more than that, because I don't really recall seeing it so high. 40 shots against Celtic.
Gordon,
we
said this a couple of weeks ago against Dundee United. You know, they ran out comfortable winners, but the amount of shots they were getting, so from distance as well.
We got Rory back. Rory, we got the gist of your point. So you're very much focused on the way it went wrong specifically last night and in the build up to last night, rather than this notion that it's the board's fault or the squad's underprepared and that sort of thing.
Well, I think that's a big part of it, but you know, with regard to last night, you know, I think Martin O'Neill set them up without the positivity that he normally does, and then they came out and they did well initially, and then Negrin made his mistake. And then we just seemed to collapse from there on in. And, you know, we didn't seem to have any fight. When I think back to the Cup quarter final last year at Ibrox, you know, we were really under the cosh that day, but we held on and we fought and we dug that result out. And all the way to winning the title last year, we dug those results out, you know, when everything was against us, to win that league title. And so to go from that to what we had last night where there was no fight, and you know,
sorry to interrupt you, Rory. You're talking about the manager there as well. Like, you can go back to Martin O'Neill last year and say he squeezed every ounce out of that squad, right? You know, he got the players in at January that never really helped. He went with the guys that were tried and tested. Last night, for me, see, you talk about momentum in games. I don't know how you think about it, Alec, but see, at 2-1, I thought Celtic's energy just went completely.
Exactly, yeah.
Absolutely zapped. There was guys pulling up with cramp after an hour. A couple of injuries near, but they just looked dead in their feet, and that's after a weekend.
Yeah, had rest.
It was bizarre because the other team didn't look that way. They talked about you were there, heavy pitch, but Whether that's the momentum and the goals are sucking the life.
When you go back to Rory's original point there, saying getting into the game negative, he felt as if there was, he wasn't his usual self, buoyant, you know, on the back of a 3-1. The start they made didn't show that there was any kind of evidence to go, do you know what, the comments have really affected the team. I think it was opposite. I think the goals were the goals, catalyst that actually, and then as you rightly said, Simon,
I thought the energy just went from the team completely.
I just thought their momentum and they just steamrolled.
Rory, the previous caller said it was for sure his worst result. You going that far?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, to be 4-0 up, to be, you know, we're all in the house all celebrating. The champagne was getting opened when Cal Mack scored, and then, you know, an hour later, the place is like a morgue. You know, I've never experienced anything like it. Easily the worst result in my in all my time following Celtic.
Thank you, Rory. Thanks for taking the time. That was Rory in Cumbernauld phoning for the first time. Not in happy circumstances. If you're a Celtic fan, plenty more of them lined up, and we'll work through them next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Some strong opinions on last night's Celtic debacle. We've had a couple of callers calling it the worst result ever, embarrassing, capitulation, disaster, all that sort of stuff. How would Howard and the Gorbals add to that, Howard?
Mayor, scarred for life. You can say whatever way you want, just bottled it. But my point is, and to disagree with your first caller, I think the board have got a lot to answer for. The one thing about transfers is the timing. So let's look at it. The Egyptian winger, not fit, bought too late. No Alistair Johnson replacement. But the biggest error for me is, if you're going to sell your engine, Arne Engels, you better make sure you've got somebody to come in, and they didn't. And even worse, they've got a midfielder that they didn't even know couldn't play, you know, Chamberlain. So I think the board have got a lot to answer for. I really do.
What do you make of the Engels one then? Because it's been, you know, there's no secret here. Celtic, in theory, wanted him to stay to play in these playoffs. Martin O'Neill publicly explained that the player did not want to do that and he wanted to go. Is there a glaring gap there? Because whether you loved him or you didn't, and whether you like Bauer or not, he was the most powerful runner in the midfield, and it is a midfield that does not have any real powerful runners. And did we see that exposed last night?
We were just talking during the break there, and obviously they haven't replaced that number 8 position. Bauer is more of a 6, playing from behind the ball, so you don't have that kind of, as you rightly said, that running power from middle to front. But everyone knew this, Gordon. I think if we go back to January last year, I think obviously Notts Forest bid not back. The players waited an extra 6 months to the end of the season, got the job done, got the double. So they had that time to prepare and get a replacement in the building, and it hasn't materialised yet. So, that would probably have to come onto the board, that they haven't been able to identify through their recruitment and also get it in the building in time.
There are targets linked,
Simon.
They might well come in, but Howard has used a very important word, timing.
Yes.
This is 6 times in a row now that when Celtic have got to the Champions League qualification stages, they've failed. And one theme that seems to run throughout all of those failures is the accusation that players aren't signed in time, so that they're not ready. Hassan's £9 million, he might go on to be brilliant, but as Howard says, not ready to impact that from the start last night.
Yeah, on the back of a World Cup, he's playing catch up. Obviously that's why he was deemed not fit enough to come on last night. Yeah, listen, Engels wasn't replaced. Engels and Johnson were the two that were causing most of the speculation pre-season. Alistair Johnson obviously got injured, which maybe influences Engels' decision. The guy says he doesn't want to play. Maybe they were hoping that he would play in these two games to get them through, quite possibly. But they miss him. They do miss him. And, you know, Engels is a player that's split opinion by Celtic fans. I look at across the board, it's not a unanimous one, but I feel when he came back into that team at the end of last season, he brought the energy. And, yeah, he's got a fair point there, Howard, that wasn't replaced. And, you know, it has to be. It has to be now.
But at the same time, Howard, you said you thought the players bottled it then. So does this all come back on the board because the job, you know, wasn't done the way it should have been done last night?
I know the players, yeah, they've got to take the blame, but you need the tools. And the problem is as I say, the board, it's the way they do their business. They squabble over money. You hear about a player, Celtic want, and it's not done in within a couple of days. It's a week later or 2 weeks later. And the thing is, if the board had brought in these replacements, and I'll say this, it's ridiculous, but Luke McGowan and Tanecki, and online, the abuse they're getting, and that's my point, if Celtic had brought in the right players, these players would have, you know, they wouldn't have been the impact of having to come on Dane Murray. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the pressure on them was massive. But again, I say it, if Celtic had got the timing right, we might not have been discussing these things about players getting absolutely hammered and slaughtered.
I know. How are we finding this line? Where is this line, Alex, between, though, these players aren't good enough for the Champions League, these players aren't good enough to take Celtic to the next level, and
sitting 4-0
up, these players should be able to see out a 4-0. You know, no. I keep saying it. I've seen it, Simon, on the way in. I was over there, couple of flights, couple of delays, couple of train journeys, had a lot of time to mull this. So in a genuinely, in a hypothetical, pointless game in my head, started thinking, what level of Scottish team would I have backed to see out a 4-0 with an hour to go? Genuinely, because that's all you have to do. Yeah. You're not asking the players to be of a Champions League level. You're not asking the players you're asking them to see out a 4-0 advantage with an hour to go.
And I think that's two separate things, because I agree with you. I think they should have been able to see that out. I think the frustration from Callum McGregor was evident. Yeah. The players that come on were not at the level that required to see them over the line. But then you also have a discontent with the Celtic fans, where they feel as if, because if you think about the net spend this year, you know, they've obviously brought some players in, and mm-hmm. I think most people would agree the four players that they brought in look as if they're going to kick on and do well for Celtic. But the problem is that they've also let guys go out the door.
Yeah.
So they've also negated that money, probably still in a bit of profit. And I think that's a frustration, because they've got so much money in the bank. Why not add another couple of players to give you the best mm-hmm. opportunity to get through a tie like this last night? When required, you just call in better players to come off the bench.
Yeah, thank you to Howard. What about Michael? Howard says he's going to be scarred for life. Michael, was it that bad?
Oh, very disappointing, but thanks for putting me through. And good evening, panel.
Hi, Michael.
I phoned in last week and I said I wasn't sure the tie was finished, because I thought we were a bit fortunate at Celtic Park. I mean, that team I thought were pretty decent, as it proved to be. I mean, they get two goals chopped off. It was only a matter of inches. And I think even they thought they were unlucky. Last night when Callum scored, I thought, oh, well, that's it. But then when they get their second goal, I began to get me doubts creeping in. You know what I mean? And actually, they were the better team last night. I mean, they were bigger, stronger, fitter. And they seem to have a will to win. They seem to have this. The coach had said before that we'll throw the kitchen sink at it. Now, an attitude like that is going to get you places. And I thought they were very impressive, that team. And we just folded. You know what I mean? But these things happen in football, you know what I mean? I remember a Patrick Thistle game, 4-1 at Hampden, I was about that, and you know what I mean? Patrick Thistle beat us 4-1. And even the time, I was near this one, it was a bit before my train, when Celtic beat Rangers 7-1, apparently Rangers were favourites that day. So these things happen in football. England beat Scotland 9-3. It's all in the game. I'm very disappointed, but again, I think the board are a bit to blame as well. You know, I think they should have had their business done earlier, but as you said, with 4-0 up, you would expect a team to hold on, but hey-ho, there you go. Anyway, good luck to that team. You know, they're a good side.
Fair, Michael's quite understanding about it all. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, Alex. They are good. They were good. Everyone was right to say that they deserve more last week, and you can't take it for granted. And none of this changes the fact that it was 4-0 with an hour. You know, I'm probably getting repetitive already, and we're only at 6:30, but...
And there was a couple
of decent chances yesterday.
Yeah. Across the face of the goal, who lets his touch get away from and allows the mm-hmm. keeper to save that one?
What about then the nature of the other goals lost? Because we said that genuinely, although we're talking big picture here, we're talking structure, transfer policy, the way the board runs the club and so on, and yet you genuinely might it might not be a stretch to say that if Negrin doesn't do something silly, Celtic go through.
Yeah.
And then even once you've done that, you've still got a big cushion there, and that cushion starts to get pulled away partly by Austin Trustee's defending. Would that be fair?
Yeah. I have to say, you know, in that situation, Gordon, you're looking for them to be a little more robust. I thought he was very flimsy, to say the least. I think he got bullied, and then obviously the goal. I have to say, and listen, and I know it's going to be a scattergun approach. If I was a Celtic fan and my keeper was getting beaten by three goals from outside mm-hmm. the box, I'd be really disappointed. And when you look at the manner, even the second one, although he's curled it into the far corner, it's a hell of a distance. And I think when he's actually bearing down in goal, you're looking at that and thinking, you have to half anticipate. And then actually the end goal as well, Gordon, I thought it was really poor because it's his weaker right foot and he's dragged it across.
Was that the worst?
For me, I don't think he shifted his feet quick enough.
The winner. It felt like he did actually make some good saves. He saves a penalty as well. Mm-hmm. What was the one that the... and then for the goal, of course, it's actually a really good save.
Yeah,
and
no, I think the
rebound
was
in. Yeah, should they be expecting more though?
I just think three goals from the edge of the box. I didn't think he covered his cell in glory. And from there, especially the last one, because it's a right footer, it's dragged across the goal. Now, I think he's about 6'5", that guy. It doesn't leave a lot of space if you're centralised and then you shift your feet quick enough, but he just doesn't get there.
James is on the other line. Thank you to Michael. James, how would you sum this up?
Totally deflated. 68 years following Celtic, I have never seen such a fallout of players who don't make it. All of a sudden, we go there and we're three up, and what we want more than anything is to get a goal. And what happens? We get one. Now that should make the players jump up by 100% and try and went backwards. I think Celtic chucked it and went back at us up 4-0. This is easy. And look what happened to us.
So you think it was complacency, James? Because Callum McGregor thinks it was fear.
I think it was both, a bit of both. See, last night when the game was over, every Sky channel in Europe, Germany, France, Spain, you name it, Celtic were headlines. How embarrassing was that? Humiliation. I would say something went badly wrong. And to me, I like Martin. Martin O'Neill. And you say to yourself, what went wrong last night? He's a clever man. He's a god. He's helped us out of so many situations. But by God, he got it wrong last night. I would not have wanted to come out and tell us what went wrong. That's embarrassing. Humiliation. That's just the best chance in 6 years. Three up at home. We got a fourth goal out there. How can you lose five goals in under an hour? Please tell me. Because I can't figure it out.
It was one of the most extreme cases of feeling momentum I've ever seen. Yeah. Mentioned I was there. Yeah, I was in the stadium. It just like, you know, you could smell it. You could feel it. It was unavoidable. You know, it was just coming. All
once last started scoring.
You could see.
The second goal. As soon as the second goal after half time, you could see Celtic.
But see on James's point's an interesting one, right? So he says Martin O'Neill got this wrong last night. Martin O'Neill doing that thing that managers often do, because that's what they're there for. He says, you know, this is
blame's on me.
The blame's on me. In what way then? Is it? I don't know how much. I mean, managers always need to take the blame. So, you know, once we accept that, how much should he take? What did he get wrong?
Well, we were talking prior to coming on the show, and I felt as if a couple of the subs were wrong. I thought Yang, you know, you're looking for a ball carry, you're under the cost, you need someone to get it up the pitch. I was saying to Simon as well, Tanecki looks like a shadow of a player. When he first came into Celtic, I thought, oh my God, they've got a real player here on their hands, and he's regressed badly. And then I go back to Hatate, and we were obviously discussing, you felt as if he'd done okay. I do not feel as if he's playing anywhere near the level he's at, and I think they have a problem with Hatate, because we've got one more week.
I just felt like he at least did a job when he came on, which is more than could be said for some of the others.
Yeah, no, listen, and I take your point on board. I just mean in terms of what he's capable of, Gordon. So for me, he was one of the best midfielders in Scotland, and then when I look at the last night's performance, I feel as if it's still below. But you could actually kind of label that at more or less all the players. I just thought they get bullied all over the park. You know, you talk about desire. Carter Vickers, domestically, will be the number one leader, alpha male. Callum McGregor will go on the ball and play. And these guys with no really any bearing after the first goal.
They struggled with the two lads that were playing up in the front line.
Do you think structurally as well? Because there's times I've seen Callum McGregor getting beyond.
There was the one they were really exposed.
And then all of a sudden he doesn't have the legs to recover back in. And that European level, Simon will tell you, in transitional moments, you need just to kind of anchor at the base.
Aye, or you're looking for others to kind of help you out a little bit. I read comments today. I thought McGregor actually did okay last night in terms of reading the game at times and trying to hold it in there, but you need a little bit of help round about you. But the game, I just keep going on about this second goal in the game getting away from it. I've wrote down Estanya because we're trying to figure out how... But it almost happened a few years ago with Estanya. They had a hell of a lead there and the roof caved in away from home. And I remember watching the game thinking, they're going to go out here, and they held on by the skin of their teeth. Unfortunately, last night they were 3 minutes short.
Thank you very much to James. We're going to get Thomas in just a minute or two. Let me tell you about this first, though.
Clyde One.
This is not a prize that takes what team you support into account, but since the Celtic fans are all the miserable ones, imagine being cheered up by £700,000 in your bank this Friday. It happened for Jane Friday past, but the money is going up, 700 grand at the end of August. Text yes to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. Over 18s only. Enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find the phone entry details and the rules for this network competition. The lines close at 5 p.m. Friday. Answer your phone, you win the 700 grand. It is that simple. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Reactions to last night's debacle in Austria are pouring in. As always, when a big result happens like that, this tends to be the place to get it all off your chest. So let's go for Thomas in East Kilbride. Thomas, you've heard a lot already. How would you sum up how bad it got for you and why it got to that stage?
Well, in one word, first of all, evening, guys.
In one word,
how bad it got. It was an omni-shambles, that's what I'll say. And in my view, there are three sort of prongs as to why it got that bad. Firstly, there is an element of blame that needs to be apportioned to the board for the nature of, you look at the substitutions that we had to bring on, and you look at the level of players and the level of drop-off between first team and second string players, and that to a degree is the fault of the board. However, those players that we brought on, those players that are receiving criticism and rightfully so, the likes of Luke McCowan, Sebastian Trunechte, Dane Murray, Anthony Ralston, etc., should be good enough to see out a 4-0 lead with like an hour to go. And that's why, in my view, it's mostly down to the players and the management. I mean, the tactics that were employed, we seemed to just, as soon as they got that goal that was given to them by Benjamin Negrin and his slack back pass, we seemed to just cave in and just sit there and wait to be picked off.
Do you think that was a tactical decision, though, Tom? That cannot have been by instruction, surely?
Well, you would like to think not. I don't think Martin O'Neill was saying, sit there and let them score. That's obviously not what I'm suggesting he said. But there was, I mean, whether it was partly tactical and partly just a lack of ability, but you saw that it became just hoof it up the pitch and hope that Kasper Hu can hold on to it. But Kasper Hu is not that kind of striker. You watch him when he played, as much as he's good with the link up, you watch him when he played for Bodo and he was penalty box striker, be there to tap it in, score loads of goals. That was his main attribute set. He's tall and he's got some power, so he can do the hold up, but he's not a target man, and we seem to be using him as a target man. However, my main point was that, yes, the individual game went awry, right? But that Benjamin Negrin mistake that led to their first goal and the way that the game then unfolded is quintessentially Celtic away in Europe. I'm quite a young Celtic fan. I've been following for nowhere near as long as some of the callers that you've got, but I've seen it enough times in Europe where we just totally capitulate and lose any sort of ability to string passes together, any sort of ability to do anything. It's like that old Mike Tyson phrase, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, and for 15 years that I've been following Celtic, Celtic have been getting punched in the face away from home in Europe, and have been, on the whole, incapable of formulating a plan to regroup and go again, and this is just the latest in a myriad of absolute failures.
I mean, Thomas sums it up quite well to you guys as well, that the list of teams that have been knocking Celtic out of the Champions League doesn't make for good reading, because it sort of contradicts. We all know that once you get to the Champions League, you might take a sore one off Real Madrid or PSG or Bayern Munich. Of course, that can happen. And we can always, as Scottish teams, complain about the financial discrepancies once we step into that arena. You then, that, if we're talking big picture, it feeds into what Ross Desmond said very infamously now at the AGM that never finished about, you know, his take, you know, that Celtic almost couldn't compete in Europe, and that got fans' backs up, because the list is now Lask, Carrot Almaty, Midtjylland, Ferencvaros, Cluj, AK Athens, and Astana.
Yeah.
Which of them has a budget that,
no,
that blows Celtic out the water? None.
No. I think I've seen something doing the rounds in the last day or two where this outfit were around about £45 million turnover. Celtic were 140-ish last year. And so there's a big discrepancy there, and I think that's alarming. There's a real concern the way Scottish teams are going about their business in Europe. Now, you've rhymed off a host of teams there, Gordon, and I think on paper you would like to think that Celtic could negotiate a lot of the ties, and ultimately they've fallen short. And I think the caller's got a valid point. I think obviously when they went behind last night, the mentality, the way they caved in, and then you look at Almaty last year as well, being most recent, and I think there's a real sense of frustration. I don't think you can actually label budgets and things at this. I think there's a mentality amongst Scottish teams when they get to these kind of knockout stages that they cave in. I take your point as well when it gets to the elite and you get to the thingy, but the actual new setup I think would have suited Celtic, because there's a lot of kind of middle of the road European teams in there. They may have got some decent results, but you have to negotiate these playoff games first.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, last night the roof just totally caves in. I'm as baffled. I think every single caller that's come on tonight has said the same as what I said at the start of the show. At 4-0, you're thinking, you know, not easy street, but Celtic are looking good here. And then the Negrin one's a big mistake, and it can happen in football. It can, but the momentum change after that was scary.
Is there something, and I don't know how this can be a thread that runs through, because that list I read out was back to 2017, so different players, different manager.
Celtic should be beating those.
But no, but what I mean, what I was going to say, is there something about the psychology and the pressure of this stage? Because I know that generally we sort of bemoan Celtic in Europe, but Celtic have had some okay results in Europe over that period. You know, like, you know, even on the road as well.
Atalanta
obviously went to Bologna and drew. Did they go to Feyenoord and win last year?
Won last year, yeah.
You know, Celtic had to get through to a stage to play Bayern Munich last season, even amongst all the madness that was happened domestically, still dug out a couple of results. So it seems to be they saved their worst for
the playoff,
for the qualification. So there's two obvious answers to that. One, it is a sort of a pressure mentality thing, or it comes back to that, when did they come? When did they come in the calendar? Are they underprepared?
Well, again, that was another thing that when I was looking at it and thinking about it after the game, you look at the performance last week, and I take into consideration Lask had chances. Celtic looked re-energised last week. They've started the season well. The wind was in the sails. Last night, after that second goal at the start of the second half, you then had players pulling up with what I think was cramp, and the energy went out of the game. And then, as Thomas says there, what happens in a game then when everything's going towards your goal? Desperation comes in, and that's what happens. It's long balls to who?
But what's the theme then, Thomas? Is it the pressure of these games? But how can team after team, different manager, different manager, all suffer from that? Is it the fact that the players are not signed in time? There must be a reason that Celtic's qualification results are much worse than the results when they actually get to the group stages of these competitions.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those two things. I think certain, thinking back on individual ties, there's been certain times where the preparation has been the main issue, such as Kairat Almaty. But on this game specifically last night, the preparation maybe wasn't 100% ideal, but no Celtic team should be giving up 40 shots in 120 minutes of football. That's a shot every 3 minutes. That is unacceptable. No matter how underprepared your team is, that is unacceptable, and that has to lie to Martin O'Neill and the players. And you say about preparation, Gordon, and you're right that the preparation is obviously a key element. The preparation is only going to get worse as a result of the coefficient and having to enter in earlier. I mean, if we assume for the sake of argument that Celtic win the league, but this would apply to whoever wins the league, they go into the second qualification round of the Champions League, which will take place around the 20-odd of July. And given how much Celtic struggle to get players in for playoff games that happen once the season has actually begun, mm-hmm. how much will we struggle for that? I mean, for example, Camilo Duran was signed on the 10th of July this season. Kasper Hu wasn't until the 28th, so he theoretically would have missed that round. So the preparation, which we struggle with more often than not, is just going to get more and more difficult. And there comes a point where you have to face up to the fact that maybe, as much as it pains me to say, maybe Ross Desmond was right. Maybe Celtic just cannot compete at a Champions League level.
Fair enough, Thomas. Some good questions posed. 0141 951 1025 for the football discussion and for this as well.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, I'm on then. Beat the pundit time. Lines close at 7. Give us a call and put these two to the sword, will you?
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Alex Ray are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You just knew the reaction to last night would be big, and it has not disappointed. We've had all sorts of strong phrases bandied about. People are scarred for life. It's the worst result they've ever seen. All that sort of stuff going on out there amongst the Celtic fans. The board are getting it, the manager's getting it, the players are getting it, and I suspect there's more of that to come between now and 8 o'clock. So 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, I know the way this show works, it's no coincidence that we're not hearing much from you so far. You're probably sitting back and soaking it all in. But some big news doing the rounds, because a £9 million move for a new striker looks set to be going ahead, and Nico Raskin left at home while the rest of the team heads to Czech Republic for your Conference League qualifier in light of him potentially leaving. So get your calls in. Hearts are trailing over in Vienna by a 1-0 at the break, which means they're 3-2 down on aggregate. Sorry, they were trailing at the break, and we're now moving towards the hour mark in that one, and they're going to need to do something. But let's play Beat the Pundit first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Alex, look at this.
He's
scrambling. He's scribbling furiously. He's looking up all sorts of stuff.
You know, last week when I got one, didn't we? Do you remember when we were, you grabbed my paper?
I did. I took the league table off you last week.
A wee bit of research.
One of you.
It's not helping me.
One of you will take on Fraser, who's on the line.
Go on, Fraser.
All right.
Hi, Fraser.
Fraser, where are you? Tell us.
We're stuck in Basel now. We're just heading to Freiburg for the Motherwell game.
Brilliant. I'm so jealous, honestly.
Mm-hmm. We had a Motherwell fan called Rachel a few weeks ago. Do you remember?
Yeah. From Helsinki at the time.
Yes.
Because he'd been away last night. I was away the last two nights in Austria, and that's what's killed it. I can't justify a full week away. I'd be in trouble for that. So what's your route, Fraser?
Result in Austria.
I think a lot of Scottish football fans enjoyed it, just maybe not the Celtic fans. Where did you go then? What's your route?
We went Amsterdam, and then Zurich, and then we're getting the train down from Zurich to Freiburg, and then I've got a stag do in Amsterdam,
Amsterdam
for the weekend.
You know, Amsterdam's a must. You've got to stop there where we're at, regardless where you're going.
I got stuck there on the way to Linz, and I know that all my mates were in the group chat going brilliant, but no. I didn't get to the hotel in Amsterdam till 11:30, and I had to get up at 4 to go and make the connection the next
straight
morning.
Through.
It was a shambles.
Through,
honestly,
no,
it was horrible. And then the same on the way back this morning. And see, when the taxi driver picked me up at Glasgow Airport today, you know, that real boost of confidence, he goes, "You look tired." Thanks, mate. Brilliant. Thanks for that. Right, anyway, Fraser, let's toss the coin and see who you're up against. Hopefully, we can get your trip off to a good start. If it's the blue side, it will be Simon Donnelly. And the red side will be Alex Ray. And it is blue for Simon Donnelly.
Go on, Sid.
Give your notes.
you've had a bad 24 hours. This can only get worse for you,
Bell.
Simon Donnelly.
Yeah.
Right, Fraser, I'm going to give him something else to listen to. You have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No problem.
Good man, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored for Celtic last night?
Carl McGregor.
Which country are Rangers opponents Jablonets from?
Czech Republic.
What number does Calvin Miller wear for Hearts?
7.
What was the score in the first leg between Hibs and Ghent?
0-0.
Which club has the postcode G20-7AL?
Partick Thistle.
Name any team that's got no points in the Scottish Championship so far this season.
Queen's Park.
How many teams in the top four Scottish leagues start with A? Just guess.
Seven.
How are you meant to get that off the top of your head? Whichever one of you sadistic producers come up with that question. With time pressure, how on earth are you meant to get that right? Anyway, Simon Donnelly, are you with us? Oh,
Sid.
No?
Yes.
I thought he was pretending he couldn't hear me there.
Lenny
30
crack.
Seconds
Paul Young there.
On the clock, your time starts now. Who scored for Celtic last night?
Come on, Blank. McGregor.
Which country are Rangers opponents Jablonets from?
Poland.
What number does Calvin Miller wear for Hearts?
Pass.
What was the score in the first leg between Hibs and Ghent?
0-0.
Which club has the postcode G20-7AL?
Pass.
Name any team that's got 0 points in the Championship this season.
Arbroath.
How many teams in the top four leagues start with the letter A?
7.
Fraser, if you've not beaten that, you're in trouble.
That's how much that game scared me last night.
Surely Fraser in the Fraser's got a wee team in the background, but he didn't need any help.
God. Oh man, I thought he was easy.
How many of you are there, Fraser?
About 12
people.
Oh my days.
I knew Fraser was there on his own.
No, see, in fairness, Fraser was good. I didn't hear him consulting the team at any point. Callum McGregor, Simon.
I think I only needed 2 to beat you, Simon.
It was 1-1 after the first question, but Simon was struggling for time at this point. Czech Republic, Jablonets are from, and Fraser got it. Calvin Miller wears 7, and Fraser got it. It's a doing. It is a doing so far. Hibs against Ghent is 0-0. Honestly, Fraser, he's...
I said 0-0.
I know he did, but Fraser knew that G20-7AL's Partick Thistle. That's where Alex Ray's fan mail gets sent, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Or the hate mail.
Or the love letters you get. The two teams with no points in the Championship are Morton or Queen's Park. Fraser, usually when people phone in from European trips, they've had a few.
Nevertheless.
And they're all over the place. But it's sharpened Fraser's mind because he's absolutely flying here. And of course, this was a difficult question. But there are 6 teams in the Scottish leagues that begin with A. But nevertheless, a 6-2 win for Fraser.
And that's what Fraser. Going, boys.
Fraser, that is
going
a
to beer now.
Doing. Well done to you.
Cheers.
And away they go. True, yeah. Gone. Before I even got the chance to ask them about the Motherwell game.
I don't think they were caring. They were jubilant about getting a victory tonight.
Is that doing, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
To be fair, that's a good return from 6 is good.
Joe, it is annoying because he is gone, never to return.
What happened to you, the first question?
Oh, Callum McGregor.
The thing is, he's done half his day. Do you know the worst of it is when he starts going off in one ease and he's in bits?
And serious, what I was going to say to Fraser that you told me to pick up is just how great is that to see. Look, I think Motherwell obviously 3-1 down against the Europa League finalists going over there. They've now got a game under their belt, which they didn't have last week. But I think something like, did I see 1,400 gone over? Motherwell fans.
Yeah,
a couple of years ago, they might not have got much more than that at a home game. Now, I'm exaggerating slightly, but that's an incredible number to be going over.
It's the reward for the great season that they had last year. And, you know, these things don't come around a lot for like some Motherwell. You know, it's great numbers to go out there. Obviously, it's a difficult situation with the first leg. A wee bit unlucky in the first leg, the guy getting sent off. But yeah, there's a feel-good factor at the club, as you well know, and that's a brilliant representation of the club. And good luck to Fraser and his mates who have given me a doing there.
That has been eating away at me slightly since last week, Alex, because you do go over there facing, and if it's not Mission Impossible, I don't know what. I won't ask Gordon Dalziel for his percentage chance, given how bad he is at guessing. But the 3-1 actually felt quite harsh because it was as good as they were. Yeah. I mean, you could tell they were excellent, but there wasn't really much in the game. It was 1-1.
Yeah.
Then there's the penalty red card double, which you don't get that often now because it has to be, you know, not for not attempting to play the ball. And then even at that, at 2-1 and 10 men, it wasn't that nervy.
Yeah.
And then they score off another set piece in the 95th minute. So as a football game, maybe there's not a lot tomorrow, but these guys are going to have some trip.
No, and I think that's what it's all about, Gordon. I think I actually sent you a picture a couple of weeks ago with the following he's had at Hibs, which was tremendous. And as Simon said, I think there's a feel-good factor. And what I have come to realise, see, when you play against top teams, even though you think you're in it, see, when it comes to the key moments at the top end of the pitch, they just punish you. And I think it'll be a difficult night tomorrow night. They may well try and keep possession and just see the game out. But I think the tie's beyond Motherwell.
All sorts of chances. I mean, listen to that for a trip and some of the routes that they're taking.
Oh, and a stag do at the end of it.
I've got mates who are going via Palma and are spending the day by the pool. And I'm trying to figure out
work.
You know what, if that's really necessary or not to get there. But
why
there
not?
We go.
Why not?
It's just annoying me being so close because I was in Austria last night. But that's actually, that made it worse rather than better.
Of course,
because I can't back away for the full
distance,
week.
Touching distance.
Can you imagine after spending a month at the World Cup, if I suggest it on the
you
end?
You could sell her that. Just buy her something.
No, I've tried that. I've used that already.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, right. And congratulations to Fraser for winning. No.
He didn't ask him if he wanted the...
I didn't have the chance because he swore and I had to cut him off.
I don't think it was Fraser. I think it was his mate.
It was his mate.
So?
Yeah, no, it was definitely someone in the background.
Someone in the background. Fraser was well behaved.
Oh, murder, honestly, right. Well, that's the risk you take, isn't it? He was apologetic, apparently, when he spoke to the producer. Oh, dear. Do you know what? I've now got group chats going from people who know who that was
over there.
Who had heard that he was going to be playing Beat the Pundit and so on. So it's spreading.
I have to say, I'm pleased I never got him. 6 is a good return.
As I said, though, normally, right?
So how many did you get?
I think I'd probably get 5. I'd, I got Morton Thistle, 0-0, 7. No, 5. I had 5.
When we get people on from away trip, they're usually a bit... You know,
tipsy.
You know what I'm trying to get at. But anyway, Mark is in Yoker. Hi, Mark.
Afternoon or evening, gentlemen. How are we? All right?
Hi, Mark.
Good, Mark. As a Celtic fan, though, the big question is, how are you?
Well, we all knew this was coming, quite frankly.
Did you?
Well, I think so. I think if you derelict your duty to such extent that you allow a squad so bereft of depth.
But you can't say you saw it coming at 1-0 up on the night.
Okay, fair enough. No, I didn't at 1-0 up on the night. But it's come back to bite us in the bum, this consistent, perennial lack of investment. And I know you'll say that we've signed 4 players, but we're still £9 million in profit for the transfer window as it stands. So a squad that is requiring such extensive work still sits there with the likes of Ralston and McCowan and all, you know, I could ring through them all, you know who they are. And they should never be anywhere near Celtic in a European tie when there's £40 million on the line. They all need replaced. And quite frankly, Martin O'Neill, who I love, I'm of an age where Martin O'Neill, back, I went to Seville and all the rest of it in my early 20s, the man can do no wrong. I wish he'd just sailed off into the sunset after last season, but the board are so inept that they couldn't make a decision. So the poor guy's been hoisted out there again to try and do his best for us. But he must take a huge slice of the blame for last night, because that display was nothing short of disgraceful. To be 4-0 up and still knocking the ball about at the back, they weren't even pressing us properly. The press wasn't a severe press as what you would get against a Man City or a Real Madrid or whatever. The press was fairly average, and we just kept playing it into the middle of the park, losing possession of the ball. Just get it. I mean, just play it out to the wings. It's a put the new boy on, the Egyptian lad out wide with Duran on the other wing, second half. Play it to them, play it up to who, feed off it. But again, we're knocking about at the back, getting overrun every time the ball was then lost. Both our midfield, central midfield players are in advanced positions of the ball. The boys are then running in at the back four. I couldn't believe what I was watching. And Callum McGregor, to stand there in that post-match interview and empty the squad, well, he was as much to blame as anyone. He should have been taking the mea culpa on that one, quite frankly. So I think Martin O'Neill, if he's going to hang around, he needs to go into that changing room and say, you're no good enough, you're no good enough, you're no good enough. Show them the door. Demand that the board replace them.
But Mark, how do you do that? How do you do that with the players that you've obviously rounded off a couple, and it could be a few more players. How do you actually say to players, you're no good enough, you're no good enough? You've got a week to then get players in to complement the squad.
And by the way, you need the Scottish ones for that UEFA quota and all that stuff, right, which isn't ideal.
I don't know how you do that, but it should have been done months ago is the answer, but it hasn't been. So we're going to have to rely on these guys again. I mean, no offence, but Luke McCowan shouldn't be anywhere near a Celtic jersey. We knew that the day he signed. Anthony Ralston's hung about like a bad smell for 10 years. Shouldn't be anywhere near a Celtic jersey. I don't know about the boy Dane Murray. I don't know if he's good enough or no. He keeps getting flung into these big games and saying, right, son, on you go, which isn't fair in the lad, quite frankly. Liam Scales, never good enough. Trusty is proving that he's no good enough. I mean, that for that second goal, I mean, that was just weakness personified. That guy should have been put into Rose Ed. Ball and man, end of story. But he's not got that killer instinct in him. But obviously we paid money for him, so we need to hang on to him for the foreseeable. But I don't know the answer, but Martin O'Neill, for that tactical performance, I mean, at the end of the day, Sean Maloney was the man given the instructions. You've seen that at the break for extra time. What's Martin O'Neill doing? Why is Sean Maloney the failed Wigan and Hibs manager? Let's get it right here. That's the level he operated at. And he's given tactical instructions on a £40 million Champions League game. I mean, come on. That's just laughable. Absolutely laughable. So the problems are too many to even list, but Martin O'Neill and that coaching team need to take a huge slice of the blame for that tactical ineptitude.
I find it interesting that Mark comes on and he's right, he's obviously frustrated a bit there, but I find it strange that, you know, you look at, they often say, I think you said earlier on, Simon, that they kind of got every drop out of the squad last year and managed to get them over the line and get there, you know. So was the tactical genius there last year, but it's not there this year? So I don't think you can have it both ways. I think last night they got it wrong on a couple of substitutions, but again, it goes back to the depth. And then Mark's already mentioned about the lack of depth, so you're limited about what you can actually do off the bench. And listen, whether you think Ralston's good enough or not, this is a guy who's won about six or seven titles. He's been a squad player, and he's seen, two or three managers now that have been in situ that have managed to keep him around the place. So he must bring some sort of value. So, you know, again, they're always looking for the weaker players here. I think Celtic need to go and sign four or five players minimum by next week, Gordon.
I think his valid point is the timings. And I think another caller mentioned it earlier on as well. We sat on the show on Saturday, and like yourself, I think you asked Gordon how many more players, and we said three, four at least, you know, to come in and supplement that squad and strengthen it moving forward. I think the additions are good, but I agree there with the substitutions last night. Was at a stage of the game, it was 3-1, the game was running away for Celtic, difficult, the boys coming on found it really difficult to make any sort of impact. The momentum was with Lask, but you're looking at, when you're taking the likes of Yang off, there's pace going off there, Hassan's obviously deemed not fit enough to come on at the moment, otherwise he'd be a starter. So it's timing, they've not got that three or four other players.
What do you make of the physical side of things, because this is not an excuse for all the subs. You know, there was a time when Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney, whoever it was, had choices to make. You know, I'm not saying they made the right ones, but as an example, I'm pretty sure they would have put an attacker on going into extra time when you get your extra sub, but they then couldn't because Cameron Carter-Vickers had to go off. He was injured, so that's why an extra defender has to come on. Casper, who you could see it straight away, was feeling his groin, was an empty jersey in extra time. I think Colby Donovan seemed to have cramped, didn't he? Kieran Tierney didn't finish the match.
Yeah.
This is a team that didn't play at the weekend.
I know. That was the worry for me, watching the game. And Kasper Schmeichel talking about pickle juice for cramp. Physically, they look spent, you know, and I've played in games, you've probably played in games like as well, where it's not going your way, and everything begins to feel 10 times more difficult. You can feel the game running away from you. I don't think I was in as heavy a defeat as that, but I was trying to stretch my mind today. I think we get beat off Zurich 3-0 away from home, and games can get taken away from you. Timings are goals, but the striking thing for me yesterday was the lack of energy as the game went on. They just seemed to, after that second goal, slowly but surely go, every 50-50, the Austrian team are winning, they look stronger, they again, goals, they've got the impetus, they've got the momentum. But then you have to come back to, you look to the bench, there isn't a lot there at the moment to change it, and that's where you go back to maybe timings. They should maybe have those three or four players already.
Thank you to Mark, 0141 951 1025. Keep them coming, we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Alex Ray are here at 0141 951 1025. It has been wall-to-wall reaction to last night's result. It was a big enough story to justify that, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, Rangers fans, you are preparing for potentially your own nervy evening, going over there to take on Jablonets, 1-0 up from the first leg, but there's big signing news doing the rounds, because Nico Raskin has not travelled. It looks like he could be in his way out. What do you make of that? And it looks like Rangers are about to spend another 20 odd million, because Kevin Kelsey, the Portland Timbers striker, adding to the South Korean winger from Girona as well. So give us all your thoughts there, Rangers fans. Hearts fans, I've got good and bad news for anyone talking about a Scottish football perspective here, because it is Rapid Vienna 1, Hearts 1, 3 all on aggregate as we reach the 82nd minute, so maybe going into extra time. Mm. However,
we don't get it on.
They're down to 10 men.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Thomas Magnussen, shown a second, he only came on, well, to be fair, it was early that he came on in the first half, but second booking for him just before the goal. Kabori has scored, and now can Hearts dig in? And
what's left?
Ten minutes.
Yeah.
But need a goal in 10 minutes. Anyway, if you've got extra time, it's tough ass.
With a man down.
You never know, but yeah, we did say they could score, didn't we?
Aye.
You're good, by the way.
We'll keep an eye.
Just don't ask me who scored in the recent Celtic games.
I know Alex will be keen to talk Kevin Kelsey and Nico Raskin and Jablonets and all the rest of it. So any Rangers fans, you've had your fill maybe of hearing... Nah, who am I kidding? I was going to say, if you had your fill of hearing the pain from the other side of the city, but no one's ever had their fill,
no,
do they?
No.
It just goes on and on.
I think both sides tend to kind of stay clear of nights like this.
Savour in it. Anyway, let's give you to a teaser first.
Oh.
My teaser music.
With Arcitran Glasgow, planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Very topical this. After crashing out of the Champions League, Celtic will now play in the Europa League. Can you name the six teams who have won the Europa League this decade? Can you name the six teams who've won the Europa League this decade? So we're not going back far at all.
Villa,
yes.
Sevilla.
Yes. Okay, let's leave it there, because that is two of the six, which makes me think you'll absolutely squish this. So well done so far. And if you want to submit a question, it's fulltime at Clyde1.com. Raja's on the line. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, mate. Very good. Thank you very much.
Very good, even after last night.
No, do you know what it is? Right? There's a lot of people out there saying Martin O'Neill and this and that. But see, Martin O'Neill kind of gave me a lot of great Seville, the 6-2 against Rangers, and winning that league last season when nobody kind of, you know, backed us. I mean, that was amazing. And then, so, you know, you kind of blame me. All right, I made up a couple of bad substitutes, but seriously, I mean, it's not the end of the world. These things happen, you know? And I think that's a blessing in disguise, because I think the board will realise now that, I mean, we need to get a few players. And
the board, hold on, let's go through some of that. The board have already spent quite big now. Granted, the net spend isn't huge, but they've spent big on a couple of big players. When you go to the Champions League, Raja, you say goodbye to a lot of money, a lot of millions of pounds. you lose the prestige. Celtic always kind of give off the impression that they're a Champions League team or want to be. You also maybe are limited then in attracting players who would want to come and play in the Champions League. So just to kind of say, you know, these things happen, it's not the end of the world. We're talking in a football context here. Nobody's saying it's the actual end of the world, but to be 4-0 up in a tie and now be staring at the Europa Leagues, in footballing terms, that feels like the end of the world to a lot of Celtic fans today.
Well, of course it does, my friend, but do you honestly think the board deserve another 40 million? You know what I mean? So what are they going to do? They had 100 million and they've never bought a defender, never bought a goalkeeper, never bought left back, never bought right back. I mean, so you can't put that on, you know, on the fans or on the, sorry, Martin O'Neill. I mean, it's the board's fault, so they don't deserve that. They thought,
is this not just the life of a manager, though, Alex? Whether it's fair or not, this is what you guys do when you get into coaching or management, is if you're going to praise Martin O'Neill for winning the league, you criticise him for when results aren't. Yeah. But take the man, the Celtic fans will love him, take him at face value. He says this was on him.
Yeah.
Last night, it's just the way it is. If you get praised for the good stuff, you get stick for the bad stuff.
Yeah, listen, I think there's been a couple of things that you could pick out of Celtic supporters on tonight, saying that obviously some of the substitutions weren't quite happy with that. We had a caller on saying that his general demeanour after the 3-0, we felt as if he could more upbeat. So there's been a bit of criticism of Martin O'Neill, and it will most certainly come the way. I expected the scattergun approach tonight, Gordon, where everyone got it, the coaching staff, the players, the board, and it's just, I think it's just the way it is in the West mm-hmm. Coast, and you can understand the reasoning for all of them.
Because, failure of that scale,
yeah,
it has to be a combination, doesn't it? It's never going to be one factor. For it to go as wrong as it did last night, it's bound to be a combination.
A combination
of
things. But you say, what is the silver bullet? There is, and there's a few aspects to this, and we've mentioned that. I still think that they could potentially have got some players in, Gordon, more to supplement this, because they've had months, really, to identify players. They knew that Engels was going out the door. They haven't replaced him. Kieran Tierney hasn't really played a lot of 90 minutes, you know, 70 minutes. Then you don't really have a left back where you end up resulting with scales going there.
Refreshing it.
Yeah, so I just think that things that they could have foreseen and been more proactive as a board.
And do we all get a bit carried away maybe when things have gone well? Now, I know people pointed out that there wasn't loads in the tie last week and Lask were good, but let's take Kobe Donovan as an example, because heading into the game last night, people would have almost been acting as if the absence of Alistair Johnson isn't that big a deal, because look how good Kobe Donovan was, and he was in front of the Scotland manager. He has a quieter night, which is fine and allowable. He then, fitness wise, you know, struggles. Mm-hmm. Anthony Ralston has to come on. So, you know, did we all get a bit carried away in thinking that it was all a bit rosy last week?
Listen, there was always that warning sign at the back of your head. But yeah, you're allowed to be positive. There was a lot of positive in that performance last week. Kobe Donovan being one of them. Celtic's three goals, Gerrard's performance. There was a lot to be positive about. But it's been removed. That's the nature of football. It's probably the nature of sport. It's been removed. The wind is out of sails. Yeah. Celtic need to find a way again to go. The disappointment is there. It's palpable with the guys that were phoned in tonight. And you're talking about the money lost. It's a huge blow for Celtic when they were in a strong position in that tie.
I kind of get where Raja was coming from there. Not so much when he said the board don't deserve the money, because that... I don't know if that's really how it works. You still rather have it.
It's a club
than it's not. But the money has probably stopped feeling as rewarding to the Celtic fans, because they've had it before. It doesn't all, and that's where I see where he was coming from. It doesn't always then translate into major being able to spend it into major success. They also are still in a pretty good financial situation from this summer, because they've balanced the books really well with Arne Engels and so on. You still make money off the Europa League, just not as much, nowhere near as much as the Champions League. But it's that full package, isn't it? And I actually think if you listen to the callers tonight, sometimes the most damaging bit isn't losing out on the money. It's not even losing out in the prestige. It's the PR.
Absolutely.
It's the damage that it does. Mm. And we said this
to
Martin O'Neill last night. All of a sudden, this good start to the season is gone.
Derailed, yes.
And what does it do to you going forward? That can be more important than the
somebody
money.
Somebody touched on it earlier on, didn't they, about... You know, the media extended into Britain kind of laughing at Celtic. And unfortunately, results like that, that last night give them licence to go and do that. And it is, it's embarrassing because you've got a respect for your own club and you don't like that, you know, to be seen.
Because you're now one league slip up away from everybody hitting the panic button.
Yeah, of course. I think that if you speak to Celtic supporters, obviously with a history of winning the European Cup in 67, you have an identity and you want to be seen as a big club. They have 60,000 fans, they traipse all over Europe to support their team, and they see European nights as a big part of the club. So see, when you're up against opposition of this ilk last year as well, when you're looking at that, Gordon, I feel as if Celtic fans feel as if we are bigger, a more successful club than these teams. And when they get knocked out at this early stage, it is a real setback for them, because they feel as if the board should invest more earlier, try and retain the players that you've already earmarked to sell, and then try and get through these ties and give yourself the best opportunity. And I feel as if they are doing this year on year where they're not getting enough bodies through the door. And then ultimately when this happens, then it's rinse and repeat, where the fans are disappointed with the board.
Gio's on the line. What's your main takeaway, Gio?
Well, my main takeaway, I'm 70 years of age, and that's the worst European performance I've ever seen from Celtic. But what baffles me is this. They got the weekend off, courtesy of the SPL, to let them prepare for this. And I thought, looking at them last night, where was the fitness? That team were outrunning them, outfighting them, which is partly down to fitness. But I was shocked at the general fitness of the team. And I've never seen so many players going down with cramp. Now, we're 2 weeks into the league season. Granted, with players at the World Cup, but they all get extra time off to have their holidays and recover and come back. The rest of the squads went through a full pre-season, we thought, but the fitness last night was shocking.
It's a good point Gio makes, and none of us are physios or sports scientists. And I guess, Alec, well, you're involved in the day-to-day. In theory, the ones who, you know, went down, particularly the cramp, the kind of fatigued ones, I guess on paper, playing at the weekend would have made that worse, would have made it harder. But you still can't help shake the feeling that, I don't know, maybe could some of them have benefited from more minutes in the legs at the weekend? Can it work that way?
Possibly, because it keeps you involved. Sid, sometimes when you have that off, you then have a little bit of a setback in terms of being that freshness, because you're almost in that battle mode constantly. Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, they didn't look fresh.
Without doubt. And listen, and again, I'm not a physio and I don't know what the impact was, but I'd be concerned with whether his groin had gone last night. That looked a concern the way he was moving towards the end of the game. Carter Vickers looked as if he was in a bit of discomfort as well. So it's baffling, because normally when you get a weekend off, it gives you time to prepare. You've got all the sports science, Gordon. You know exactly what you're doing in terms of loading. Yep. And it looked as if they were really... And I can't disagree with the caller, because they did look as if they were outran, outfought and outplayed at times.
It's a really good point, Simon. I wonder if we've actually not yet counted the total cost of last night. What if Casper, who's looked like an... Again, I'm contradicting myself by saying I'm not a physio, now I'm about to pretend I'm one. That looked like a groin injury.
Yeah.
Right? I sat next to the pitch, and if I'm wrong, then fine. You know, it's not something that, not a big deal, but it looked like a groin injury. It didn't look like cramp. He really couldn't move properly by the end. And who knows about Carter Vickers as well? He's had his injury troubles. What if, on top of the financial issues, the humiliation being knocked out, the negativity that seeps in, what if Celtic go and have to carry the cost of a couple of injuries in the next few days?
That's a worry. And that, when watching that, as I say, Carter Vickers as well, they're starters, they're main players in your team right down the spine. I even thought Duran kind of pulled up a little bit towards the end as well. You're hoping that is a bit
back. Couldn't come off. He clearly would have if he could have.
Yeah, they've used all the subs. But listen, I'm agreeing with Gio. I mentioned earlier on the show that was alarming for me. I'm hoping that it's the momentum of the game and the way the game went. But Celtic did look as if they just lacked energy from 55, 60 minutes.
Michael, thank you to Gio, by the way. Michael, sum up your feelings after last night. How bad are we talking?
Just, embarrassed, mate. As I say to the producer earlier, phone that up and you throw the tyre away. I don't know how you can do that, how that possible is possible. As Simon and Alex said in the show, I don't know how it's possible for flying a 4-goal lead away. I know they're a good side, but to be honest, conceding 5 goals in Europe, you shouldn't be through. You shouldn't go through if you concede 4 or 5 goals. In my opinion, said that last night as well. It's not good enough. It's not just the board, but the board have got to take some blame. Players need to take some blame. There's players that aren't good enough, mate. Not good enough to be playing. Don't want to single any players out, but there's one name I'm certain is not good enough to be played with Dundee last season. Not good enough.
I'm not going to single players out, but I'll give you the world's easiest, who am I? Look, there's no point in tiptoeing around it. Let's face that head on. Anybody who watched the game knows Luke McCown put in a really poor performance.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's fair. Now what we're seeing, though, is modern society, social media, it is a barrage now of abuse, criticism. Some of it will be justified, lots of it won't be justified. How tough is it going to be for him? Because he'll be well aware of it. You know, I see people saying he deactivated his Instagram or something. I didn't check that myself, but saw that third hand. What did you make of his performance and the way that stuff now plays out nowadays?
Yeah, listen, there's no getting away from it. He had a tough night. He found it difficult to retain the ball last night. I was saying to you guys that he's actually played 4 out of the opening 5 games so he's played quite a part of it. It'll be difficult to throw him back in at the weekend again, Gordon, but it might actually be the best thing for him. If Celtic could get into a position where they're, you know, a couple of goals up, throw him back in and try and get his confidence up. Because
my fear would be you get one of these ones where the home fans boo
and I know that, Gordon, but the thing is, see, the longer it goes on, the longer it may well think we don't, you know, and he might dip a little bit more. It's almost like getting back on the bike and throw him into the mix if you're in a comfortable position. He strikes me as a guy that we were talking about this earlier on, Simon, where when he gives the ball away physically, it looks as if he kind of starts weltering, and that's something you can't do when you're playing with Celtic.
Yeah, listen, we all watched the game. Luke didn't have a great time when he came on the park. And I really feel for him because we're ex-pros ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we've been there. I've been on that bench and I've been desperate to get in and impress. And it's 3-1 in a difficult game. But it looked as if from the first mistake really allowed it to affect him. And it's easier said than done, putting it behind you. But last night it looked as if he hadn't put it behind him. And then when the next bit comes on, he maybe tries to make the wrong decision. Yeah,
compounded.
And I described it as if he's in a washing machine by then, and everything wasn't coming off. Yeah. I felt really sorry for him. It certainly wasn't the reason why Celtic went out on the night, but it was a difficult personal situation for him. I'd like to ask, like, you're in the game still. Yeah. I would just, social media.
Oh, no, listen.
The game is hard enough.
Yeah.
The criticism, and you take criticism, and you have to, particularly Celtic and Rangers, you have to take the criticism, you know, 60,000 there or 50,000 at Ibrox. But when folk can virtually come into your living room,
your domain,
and slaughter you.
But see, the thing is, though, just quickly, going back to our day before social media was there, see shows like this, columns, and everything, believe me, you're very much aware, even though we're all on our phones now, but see, if you go back 20 years ago, we were still mindful of what was coming your way.
Thank you.
Used to be the ratings on the Sunday Mail.
Until you realise it was Hugh Keevans that came up with them. And now you work with him and think, I can't believe I listened to that guy. Right, Hearts are going to extra time, 1 each over in Vienna. Good. And we'll pick up where we left off after these.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Another midweek of European action, understatement of the night coming up. It did not go well last night for Scottish clubs. Can tonight or tomorrow be any better? Hearts are into extra time. So a commendable effort so far. 1-1 in the night against Rapid Vienna, 3-3 on aggregate. They are down to 10 men though. They were down to 10 men 15 minutes before the end of the 90. So it's going to take some shift for the Jambos to try and get something here. We'll keep an eye on that one. Of course, Rangers still to come tomorrow. Hibs and Motherwell. On the subject of Rangers, we've not done loads for obvious reasons, but Alex, take us through some of the big talking points here, because they've agreed a fee of £9 million for Portland Timber striker Kevin Kelsey. That's a big outlay.
Yep.
Regardless of any time for Rangers, Chirmiti's still there. He's injured. It feels like quite a big commitment that for Rangers, especially alongside a similar fee for the winger that's coming in from Girona.
Yeah, I think it shows a commitment for the board to invest into the team goal, and I think they need it as well. I think when you look at the firepower they have up top, it looks as if they need an extra one there. Again, would that mean that Majovski may well leave? Because you've still got Shanklin and Nadiri. Mm. Then obviously the big talking point was that Raskin was left behind, which would suggest that he potentially could be leaving Rangers, which would free up money. There's, again, I think there's speculation again about Lewis Ferguson's name getting floated today, whether that was something, but I don't think he comes cheap either. Gassama has been linked to Palma and another team, which escapes me at the moment, but that was round about the £7 million mark. So I still feel as if in the coming week they'll be toing and froing, but it's a real show of intent from the Rangers board. But again, you probably need some wide men. And again, you were obviously mentioning Celtic, four or five, but I think Rangers, but in saying that, Gordon, I was just obviously in at Rangers a couple of weeks ago playing a bounce game, and they are absolutely bloated with players who are not going to not going to feature Simon. So for, again, I think there'll be a few players leaving.
You could always look at it both ways. The Rangers fans will be, I think, excited by this financial investment in the hope that it can make their team better. I do wonder about it. This is a real, what's the word? It is a real sign of intent from the owners, but one that almost in a, not sets them up for a fall, but it adds the pressure, doesn't it? Because they're already, I think what we've seen at the start of this season is people are starting to turn attentions there and saying, are we spending money right? You know, they're getting it right at board level. It's not been a good start to the season. Who knows what will happen in the Czech Republic tomorrow? If this £20 million double act doesn't improve Rangers to a degree where they go and win stuff this year, that's going to be really tough for this board to handle, isn't it?
Serious question marks. I think, listen, it's been a tricky period. What is it, just over a year now, 14, 15 months since they came into the building. There's been, I think, was it 27 signings? I think there's been a real scattergun approach to this. I don't think it's been calculated, and I think that's partly because you're absolutely right, Gordon, in terms of you need to win trophies at Rangers. Otherwise, you know, the pressure comes on, new manager, different personnel, and I think they've got caught up in that. And but I think it's a show of intent that they're trying to bring in players of quality, Gordon, because you could go out and spend, I don't know, £1.5-2 million, and it might not get you anywhere, and it's just another couple of bodies in the building. So they'll be hoping that this is the quality they're looking for at the top end.
And then, kind of back to what we're talking about Celtic, all of this stuff hinges on whether you win a game of football. This is simple, you know.
See, he's talking there. I'm just thinking it's results.
I should just have said results.
To link it into that, what do you make of tomorrow and the task at hand? I mean, Jab Knights were not great. I think we've got to be honest about that.
Well, I was on record as one of the boys text me after the game and going, rubbish, you know, and I says, listen, I'm going out on a limb. I fancy Rangers to go through. And it was partly because I didn't think they were great shakes. However, I don't think Rangers have been tearing up any buildings.
And
in terms of that.
It's only a 1-0 lead and you're going over to their place. So you have to leave open the possibility.
No, and listen, it would be an absolute disaster to be knocked out of two competitions. And it'd be a really, really poor start to Derek McInnes's reign. But as I said, I really fancy them to go through tomorrow.
What do they need to do? What type of performance?
Listen, the performances haven't been great, Gordon. I think the St. Vincent St. Mirren 5-1. I thought that was a decent enough performance. I think there's been spells within games where you've got 15,
three spells,
half
in
an
hour. Albeit they get knocked out. The last away tie, I was in here with, I think it was Jim Duffy. In the second half, they created chances.
Yep. But Simon, they've not managed to sustain long periods
long
within
period
games.
Game, yeah.
So I think they need to be more consistent. I think they need to be more kind of clinical at the top end. And without stating the obvious, they need to shut the back door because they're stripping goals.
I think we'll probably have to leave it there. Certainly no time to squeeze many more calls in. Let me just check in on the Jambos. Yeah, it's still 1-1, 98 minutes. It's not going to be pretty, I don't think, for the Hearts fans. Are going to try and just dig this one out. They've been down to 10 men for a while. Let's see what they can produce. What a huge shot in the arm it would be for Scottish football if they could pull that off.
Much needed.
That would be a great win. And then, how do you rate Hibs' chances? They've got the 0-0 draw coming back. That'll be brilliant Easter Road tomorrow night.
No, listen, but we were there a couple of weeks ago. I have to say, you know, when you walk into Hibs, it's a proper football club, real tradition.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And the playing surface is immaculate. Fancy them to go through as well.
Yeah, right, so you need to finish off your teaser. We're looking for the six Europa League winners from this decade now that Celtic will be playing there. You've got Villa and Sevilla.
Frankfurt.
Yes, against Rangers, of course.
Man U?
Nope.
Oh. Spurs.
Yes.
Good shout, Sid. Many we left?
Two more.
I thought my news will.
Not this decade, no.
Yeah.
You're looking one Spanish, one Italian.
Barca?
Nope.
Roma?
Beneath them. No.
Atalanta?
Yes. And the other Spaniards?
Real.
Villarreal.
Villarreal.
There we go. Thank you very much to Alex Ray and Simon Donnelly and to all of you who called. Another big night in Europe coming up tomorrow. So make sure you join us from 6 and enjoy the rest of your night.